When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree? Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn podcast.
Welcome back.
Do you hear that thundering down the line? I think it's a season finale coming. So, anybody that's new, how we do these season finales, this isn't the season finale. That's coming up.
We?
How, me and you?
Who's me and you?
Oh, the Great and Powerful Mystery.
Okay. Oh, and I'm Jay Clones, 59.
I've done that all day recording. Just forgot. No, if you're new here, how we do it is we end with, like, it's normally like a 3-4-5-parter massive collage episode.
It's a big dosage of some of a deep dive into something. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's not reveal it too early.
Yeah.
For our audience.
You monster.
I'm sorry.
I put a lot of work in.
I know. So, I almost died this morning, everyone. I almost died.
Yeah, he got close. It's like kicking an alligator. He just thought about it.
It's a good thing the alligator just wasn't. It was early in the morning.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we have a lot coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be my little tagline for it is your 6-year-old's favorite episode.
There we go.
But I can't wait. It's going to be fun. Every season finale has its own flavor. They're very different from each other with how we present them, how we research. How they end up. And every time the script has gotten bigger and bigger. And I believe our record before is 128 pages. And this one I'm not done. We're recording a lot of this stuff early because it takes us so long to record a season finale. Hours.
Oh, yeah.
Is it? They normally end up 7 to 9 hours somewhere in there.
Don't remind me.
This one may be 35 hours.
Stop. That's not even funny.
No, I don't think it will be anywhere near that.
I about quit.
You can't.
I about did.
No, I'll tell all the listeners where you live.
Don't dox me.
The second you try to leave, you will be doxed.
Oh, great.
Your schedule will be presented online.
I'm getting on the mini bike and I'm hitting the road. I'm not looking back.
Yeah, the hair file.
Make it about 4 miles wherever I get.
The episode before the season finale comes out, we flip flop. So the season finale comes out on a Wednesday and starts that whole thing. And then, so normally Wednesdays are our little fun episodes, our more relaxed episodes, whatever.
Right, like this one.
Like, so that's what we're doing before. We have a lot of new listeners, so I'm just kind of explaining the format that we kind of end on for the season.
Oh, speaking of new listeners, don't we have a lot of new Patreon members?
All right, I got to apologize. Patreon people, thank you so much for your support. A lot of you guys know I was in, well, me and Emily. Emily was the one that was experiencing it. Well, we were at Ronald McDonald House for 10 weeks, and she was in the hospital 2 weeks before that. And we just got home, like, well, middle of May, so we spent all June home. We're just getting our wheels back to spin.
Right.
So as I was looking at Patreon shout-outs, I did not realize how many there were.
Well, we forgot to acknowledge them being up there. Everything, we're out of our element.
I didn't have access to it.
That's true, too. That's
Didn't have access to the who is in it.
Right.
Because I have access to Patreon on the laptop, but not the full thing.
Right.
No, like, whatever
you want. We weren't at home base.
Yeah. So I was getting ready to do that for this episode. I think we'll do it kind of maybe in the middle.
Okay.
Oh, we'll spread it out. Okay. We'll do chunks.
All right, cool.
So Patreon, the first go, and if I'm reading some of these, because I think some of them I've already read and some of them I may not have, but let me get set up.
Yeah, sure. I mean, because it's been a minute, so I know you got to scroll down just a little bit, because we got a lot of new members.
Yeah. Since March, yes.
Since March. Okay, so we're in, as of recording right now, we are in July.
So I may have read some of these, but we're just going to buzz through these guys.
It is my mom's birthday as we record this right now.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
I'll have to call Vicky after. Too much pizza sauce. Thank you.
Thank you, too much pizza sauce.
Cody, thank you.
Thank you, Cody.
Nick, thank you.
Nick.
Kojo Johnson, thank you.
Kojo Johnson, all right.
Charlie, thank you.
Thank you, Charlie.
Jenna, thank you.
Thank you, Jenna.
Manly P. Hall, thank you.
Oh, no, Manly P. Hall. I didn't know he was... it's an honor having you in here, Manly P. Hall. Thank
that's
you.
What we'll stop for now.
Okay, that's a good one to remember to stop
yep.
on.
Yep,
okay.
That's why I did it. I picked one that I could remember.
I think I have a Manly P. Hall book at home. Wouldn't... I can't remember. Oh, never mind.
So, yeah, we're going to have fun. If anybody's not familiar with the Fearsome Creatures of Lulbern-led lore and those kind of things... There were a lot of fun.
Yeah, like the Snollygoster.
Snollygoster.
Yeah.
Not Gaster. Right. Goster. The Squonk's probably the most famous one.
Probably.
Thanks to people like Cryptid Comforts putting it on, and Squonkapalooza, and like made it definitely a phenomenon.
Right. Some other fun ones. The Snowasset.
The Snowasset.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
It's, yeah. I mean,
they're all fun.
They're all fun. You know, it's, but it's mixing in folklore, lumberjack folklore, and... just some tall tales
and what we discussed kind of explains some natural phenomena perhaps.
Yeah, and I think they're almost all these have whatever you want to call it
rooted in reality
somewhere. Yeah. And like the Arkansas go row when you say it in the Arkansas go row.
Yeah.
The Arkansas Go-Row.
The Go-Row.
Go-Row.
Now, it's spelled G-O-W-R-O-W. So when you say it, you got to say it like with...
Go-Row.
The Go-Row.
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 So Arkansas Go-Row. Bardomartius Carbivorius.
Oh, it has a Latin name?
All the fearsome creatures do.
That's true. Yeah. I forgot.
It's said to live in the caves of Arkansas, mainly in Searcy County. We've talked about the caves in Arkansas.
We have.
The giant Arkansas, the Ozark Giant Killer Centipede episodes, the live shows we've done.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Go-Row.
Get the
also
t-shirt.
Lives there. Yeah, the t-shirt's one of the fun ones. It has two tusks on its head. And it's about 20 feet long. It is the name this because of the horrible Go-Row sound it makes when it kills its prey.
I think that's the same. You ever seen that show, Swamp Monsters?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called when they're hunting the alligators?
Swamp People.
Swamp People. That's what it is. That guy,
Canadian accent. Troy.
He's saying Go-Row.
So there's a difference between like Creole
and
Cajun.
Oh.
There's a difference.
Okay.
There's a YouTube documentary that does it really good of explaining. Oh,
okay. I didn't know.
It's like Turtles and Tortoises.
Yes.
One is the other, but the other one is not always true.
Gotcha.
Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember which one he is.
Oh, okay.
Because Creole has a lot of French and stuff. Like Cajun is different influences.
Right, yeah. Different
spices. Creole
is...
Creole's from, I think, like, forced poverty. Like, there's a lot of history in the word Creole and Cajun. Like,
oh, okay.
Like, it's well, not just saying... It's like...
Is Go-Row Cajun or Creole? I'm kidding.
It's not even either, because it's not Louisiana.
Oh, yeah, it's Arkansas. I'm a little off.
A little, yeah.
That's close.
So, the Go-Row is one of several fabulous monsters reported in Arkansas's popular lore. May owe its origins more to the journalism than traditional narrative and folklore beliefs.
Okay.
So this may be a more of a creature created by the newspapers, or it's mythical status versus actual folklore in like word of mouth
oral tales. Tradition. Yeah. Yeah.
The principal documentation of this creature's existence is a story that appears in the Arkansas Gazette of January 31st, 1897.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently written by Albert Smithy, Elmer Burris provided the illustration. And everybody hasn't seen a picture of a
Goro.
Look it up. It looks like a chicken had a baby with an alligator that had a baby with a cyclops.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're very unique creatures.
I was going to say, sounds pretty like simple body plan.
Yeah, very.
Yeah.
Yeah, just an amalgamation monster.
Inhabiting that niche.
There you go. Allegedly based on a photograph that accompanied the piece. Fred W. Oliswap, who edited the Gazette at the time, recounted that the circumstances that led to Smithy's story. William Murr, a Little Rock businessman, who was traveling in the Ozarks of northwestern Arkansas, told Smithy of a horrible monster known as the Goro.
Goro.
Its name comes from the noise it makes during its nocturnal predations. Man, I cannot talk to it. The creature had been slaughtered in livestock and pets near Blanco, which is Searcy County, near Calf Creek Township. Miller formed a posse to track down the Goro to its lair, and the cave littered with animal skeletons and even some human remains. As they waited to ambush the monster, they heard it emerge from the nearby lake, causing the earth to tremble as it made its way towards them. The Goro perished after several volleys from the posse. Before its death, it ripped up several trees, tore off the legs of one of the posse members. So before I continue on, the Ozark Mountains, we'll come back to it and talk about it a little more and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Have several of these creatures. Do you remember when we did, I don't know if this was this season or last season, but do you remember when we talked about the Ozark Blue Man?
The Blue Man?
Yeah.
Oh, vaguely.
Remember, he wasn't blue.
Right, yeah.
He was, black-haired creature. But same thing happened to him. Is a posse got together and tried to murder it.
Okay. Why are Arkansas people always getting into posses?
I love Arkansas to death.
Yeah.
I go to Millwood Lake. Ashdown, Arkansas is one of my favorite towns I've ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't a lot to do.
So getting into posse is just kind of like...
If there's a monster and you're like, let's go chase down this thing and try to kill it.
Sounds like fun.
I watched several guys in Arkansas manhandle an alligator, uh-huh. A living alligator. They didn't shoot it or nothing, but the alligator ran from these guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean...
People in Arkansas are their own unique breed.
People are the scariest creatures on Earth.
But yeah, so it's another thing. And then you get almost some Bunyip kind of stuff with it.
Yeah.
A season opener where you have like rising out of the lake, this big, long creature, horrible description, as in it looks horrible.
Right, yeah.
No, it's so far really, really Bunyip-esque.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a Bunyip on vacation.
Oh.
The examination of the remains revealed the creature to be 20 feet in length with two tusks, extremely large webbed feet ending in claws, a short row of horns along its back, a long, thin tail that was bladed at the end.
Dang.
Now, this description's
1897.
The blade, I think, means flat.
Right, okay.
A big flat tail in the end. The tail goes from being fat to flat.
Right. I'm trying to think what an example, and I can't think of something.
Well, there is a good example of this, but we'll save that for later.
Oh, I was going to use a Pokemon or something.
No, there's an animal that looks like this.
Okay.
Let me read the description again so you can. I want you to see if you can figure out
okay,
the animal.
Okay, okay.
20 feet long.
Okay.
It's saying it has two tusks on its head, large webbed feet ending with claws, a row of short horns running down its back, and a long tail that thins into a blade at the end.
Hmm.
Once I say it, you're gonna feel stupid.
Hmm. Dang it. Is it some kind of salamander?
That's a good guess, but no. Let's move on. So William claimed to have sent the body to
Smithsonian.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
That's
why did I know?
Because they always go to the Smithsonian. Because you work for the Smithsonian.
Not this one. That's my brother.
That's my brother.
Number three.
No, so William claimed to have sent the body to the Smithsonian Institute, but it never arrived at Washington, D.C.'s museum. Hmm. Allstop dismissed the account, saying it was a great fake, probably a fundamental in fiction.
Hmm.
Saying that, you know, the guy told him a good story.
Right. And then it just didn't show up.
Yeah. Well, the Smithsonian, let's talk, I mean, before we move on with the
GoPro.
No, I mean, what all have we talked about the Smithsonian over the last several years? Is that is a common thing, especially in the early to late 1800s, of mysterious creatures on trains getting sent back to Smithsonian for whatever preservation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just prestigious institute where people like, you got to send it somewhere.
Right.
You know, a lot of times we talk about with the Bigfoot body, when times Bigfoot's been killed.
Right.
Where it starts rotting.
And they tossed it.
They throwed it off the train.
Yep. He gone.
No, so yes, I wonder if this is real, if that's what could have happened to this. You know, it's a 20-foot long creature. That's a big carcass.
Right, yeah.
DC and Arkansas are not close.
No.
And they're not modern day trains.
Okay.
So they go a lot slower.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Over hills and stuff like that. Like now our trains like just power through it.
Oh, well, I'm thinking of like Back to the Future 3. That was in like the 50s or no, it was in the 1800s. They got that thing going
88 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's one movie fact I do know.
There you go.
No, so it takes a lot to get like it takes a long time to get from DC to Arkansas.
Absolutely, yes.
Still, if you're going 88 miles
right,
an hour.
Right, absolutely. Uh-huh.
No, so yeah.
It's a long day.
Just saying, for maybe some hopefulness that this is real or some way, shape, or form, that why the body never made it to Smithsonian.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also proven the Smithsonian will lie to you.
And bury objects.
About carcasses they receive.
Right. Or dump stuff right in the river.
All the mammoth bones.
Yeah.
Let's throw these mammoth bones in the river. And that diver went and pulled them all out.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Smart man.
What do you think so far before I continue?
I'm trying to figure out what the heck it is, but just...
You're going to feel silly when
tusks,
I get to the end.
Web feet and the bladed tail.
Keep in mind, this is the journalism flair.
In the 1800s.
Yeah, 1897.
Okay.
My grandma was born 3 years later.
Wow.
I wonder if she ever seen a GoPro.
GoPro. Didn't they write that song about with the GoPro in it?
This is that annoying chit chatter that all those people comment about.
Oh, okay.
Which I think is the same person.
Probably. And they still listening?
Like, apparently, we're that good. Another sighting occurred sometime before 1935. E.J. Rhodes heard a combination in a deep cavern. A commotion in the deep cavern called Devil's Hole.
Mm.
You know what it was in the Devil's Hole?
It's really cute that you're going to defeat me with the power of friendship and all, but again, I am the devil from the Bible.
He was in the hole?
Yeah, because he's Devil's Hole.
Oh.
Now, so this guy is walking by this hole, and hears a commotion deep in the hole, about 3 miles northwest of Myrtle, Arkansas. He crawled down 200 feet into this hole to investigate.
Oh, you hear a commotion 200 feet down. Better go check it out.
But couldn't see anything.
Oh. Well, how that ended is anticlimactic.
Later, when he was lowered down on a rope into the cavern, the GoPro bit right through the rope. He was lowering down like a lure, basically.
And it bit the rope.
The GoPro went GoPro and then
so
bit.
Did he fall down in then?
No, it was the piece below him. Like they lower a light and that kind of thing's below him so they could see where they're going.
Yes.
So it bit through that. And he's gotcha. Like, all right, well, pull me back up. There's a GoPro down here.
Yeah, I'm done.
The Ozark Research of Folklore collector Vince Rudolph reveals additional details about the GoPro, which he believes would have been reported as early as the 1880s. Rudolph's sources suggest that the GoPro was a species of creature rather than an individual monstrosity.
Mm.
The young hatch from soft-shelled eggs as large as beer kegs.
Okay, that's pretty big eggs.
It's a big egg. The mother carried newly hatched infants in her pouch. The GoPro's a marsupial. Brings my bunyip connection full circle. Rudolph related the story about an encounter with a GoPro by a spectator exploring Devil's Hole in Boone County. Now, when we talked about both the Arkansas Blue Man, the Ozark Blue Man, and the Ozark Giant Killer Centipede, Boone County pops up both times.
Okay.
You remember the one that was kept in a jar was in Boone County?
That's right, yeah.
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 So there's a Boone County is a weird place.
Apparently so.
But it's full of, it's just hollow basically underneath it.
Hmm.
So whether you want to say whatever, GoRo or Giant Killer Centipede, whatever exists, there's a lot of space underneath Boone County.
Mm-hmm.
He told someone from Mira, which is in Polk County, who claimed to have captured a GoRo by enticing the creature to eat as many dried apples that it swelled to the size that prevented it to escape into its burrow.
Ah.
So he let this thing eat a bunch of apples, dried apples, so that it swelled up.
It was like that. You ever seen that episode of Family Guy where Peter ate that whole box of dehydrated food?
No, but I can imagine.
He ate the whole box. He's like, man, he's like, didn't fill me up at all. And took one sip of water and he instantly swallowed up. He's like, everyone leave. I have to poop.
The GoRo's captor was exhibiting his catch to everyone who would pay a quarter to see it.
Oh.
Once he had significant audience, the man would then stagger behind a curtain with his cloth, with clothed in rags, announcing the GoRo had escaped.
Oh.
This sent a crowd into a panic without him having to produce an actual GoRo. So let me explain that again.
Oh, I think I understood what you're saying, but please, yes.
So this guy would—he caught a big GoRo by feeding it apples,
dried apples,
dried apples, and it swelled up.
Couldn't get back in its hole.
Put it in a hay. He did not chloroform it in its hole.
No,
like
he just made it.
Yeah, he made it too fat.
Yes.
So he put it in a cage. He has a GoRo behind in a cage curtain. Behind a curtain, and you can hear it snarling and rattling in the cage. He walks behind the curtain, and he comes out, and his clothes are in rags. And he's like, the GoRo has escaped. The GoRo has escaped. Run for your lives. And everybody panics and runs away.
After they already given him their money, yes. Their quarters.
And he did this every night.
Well,
remind you of anybody?
Of anybody?
Any other cryptid. The exact same thing with the Hodag.
That's right. It's literally the exact same script.
It's the exact same story. Which, as far as I can find, there are different times this has happened.
Yeah.
This was just a common thing that happened in North America.
I mean,
it was a good way to make money.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a sideshow salesman. Or, you know, like,
yeah.
Sideshow attraction.
Yes. Creatures such as the GoRo, adored in folklore of exaggerations that is often accompanied with the frontier. Though sometimes stories about them may be told as true, more frequently they're told as tall tales. In fact, Rudolph presents his material on the GoRo in his collection as tall tales titled, We Always Lie to Strangers. That's his book he put all these cryptids in.
Okay.
All of his monsters and ghost stories and stuff. The Arkansas GoRo made an official return in Lennon S. Sharp's The Piled Fairy Book in a chapter called The Green GoRo, Killer of Searcy County. The chapter reads as follows. Mr. Williams Miller, a well-known businessman from the city, returns Friday to Searcy County. Miller tells a marvelous story of the discovery of his hereto unknown monster near the Blanco in Calf Creek Township. For some time, I heard many reports, more or less vague, of the presence of an animal in Searcy County, Miller said. But I placed no credence in the tales that were told. About 2 weeks ago, I was called to Blanco in an important business. I was determined to investigate the matter thoroughly while I was there. Immediately upon arriving in Blanco, I instituted inquiries and was amazed to find that people in the whole township and of St. Joe and Richard townships were in a fever of excitement over what they called the GoRo, which was described as a terrible animal which slaughtered cattle, hogs, horses, dogs, and cats alike.
Oh my goodness.
The GoRo was terrorizing the community for several months, but through numerous attempts they had made to capture it, all proven unsuccessful. The animal would steal down the mountains at night and commence his predation. He would break into cow sheds and kill and devour every cow and every calf. Several times he had been interrupted in his bloodthirsty work and always managed to escape, carrying off at least one victim with him.
Ooh.
I inquired about what was called the GoRo and was told it was an awful cry that uttered as it enraged in its devilish work. During the recent snow, a youngster who resides in the neighborhood discovered the tracks of a goro while rabbit hunting. Being alarmed at the size and particular shape, he fled into great consternation into the farmhouse and notified the inhabitants of the presence of these tracks. We formed a posse, armed ourselves with shotguns and Winchesters, and started hot pursuit of the goro. We found that the tracks were difficulty for miles through the fallen snow as it disappeared into a riverbank. The monster eventually entered the river and escaped pursuit. The diligent search was made of the riverbanks for numerous miles, which resulted in discovery of numerous caves that were nicely concealed under shelf rocks. So we talked about that in rivers, where there's like caves like right like under the waterline.
Yep.
This completely hid by the thick clumps of cedars and hereto escaped the notice of its inhabiting the county. The ground was worn smooth on the water's edge, and they entered the rock as though a huge body was repeatedly dragging over this spot. We soon secured the lights, wood torches, and undoubtedly entered the caverns, where we confounded by the sight which made us particular hair stand on end like quills on a frightful porcupine. As the flickering light of the pine knot illuminated the darkness of the cave, casting distorted shadows along the snaggle rocks, there granted us countless skeletons and skulls of all kinds and sizes,
ooh,
many with them eventually of those unfortunate human beings who have disappeared, while others seem to belong to horses, sheep, hogs, and dogs, wild animals serving dignity past the goro at some time. We hesitant out of the cave and concealed ourselves behind large boulders to await for the monster's homecoming. Wait, don't laugh, because it makes it harder to read. We had waited probably half an hour when we heard a protuberance splashing in the river and thought through a great storm. We thought it was a great steam wheeler steaming as it approached. But the next moment, a huge body of a slinky green hue dragged itself out of the water and began waddling towards the cave. Shall I attempt to describe it? The head was protuberous in size and resembled somewhat of a man, only with two enormous tusks projecting from the lower lip. Its legs were short and thick and terminated in webbed feet that resembled that of a duck's, only each toe was capped with a vicious-looking claw. Its body was covered in enormous scales. Its back were bristling, were sharp horns that came to abrupt end near the root of its tail. The tail was thin and long and was sharp as a bone at the end. The goro could wield as a sickle when it was enraged, which provided a formidable weapon. Just at this point, I got in the snapshot, which I printed in the article, which my Kodak, and I gave to the command to fire. The men fired a volley. The smoke cleared away, and we saw the creature withering in its throne of death, but it died hard. With its pernubrous tail lashed down a couple trees as large as a man's leg, but also cut off the leg of a poor man named Tom Bennerman, who was formed in the sanctuary hand of the Iron Mountain Railroad, the last year working in that section for Bennerman. Not wishing to see the monster suffer, I again gave the command to fire a volley engaged to end the goro's suffering. So, yeah.
They put it down.
So, here's what he says about after this whole big fight when they examine the creature.
Okay.
From careful examination of the photo, which I made of the monster, I convinced that it was a placoderm.
Placoderm?
We're going to say... He throws a lot of biological terms without really understanding. 1800s.
Yeah. Okay.
Placoderm. They've been extinct a long time.
Okay.
But it's a combination of a hyena, and rhinosacidae, okay, a rhino. So he says this is an animal that's a combination between a hyena and a rhino. It has incisors and canine teeth, which apparently show its relationship to Censorarius, the Sumatran rhino.
They're not really like tapirs or nothing, right?
Rhinos?
Yeah.
No, not really.
Okay.
These animals are supposedly have long since disappeared from Earth, which the remains are found in the Miocene Formation.
Okay.
So he's saying a lot of stuff. Sumatra rhinos are still around. He's saying a lot of stuff really fast.
Mm-hmm.
We know people like this.
Yes. Yes, we do.
In all probability, the specimen was the last of its kind, and I regret very much that I had willed it to death. The vast interest of the scientific community would have afforded a rare opportunity to gather trustworthy information, the characteristics of these prehistoric beasts. I have here made arguments to gather the bones and ship it to Smithsonian Institute at Washington.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's the whole story of the GoRo.
Okay. So I still don't know where... What I have one guess, but as you went on, that kind of made my guess not accurate anymore. So
it may be a little late for an ad break.
Yeah,
but let me finish our names.
Yeah.
Okay, where was
Patreon
I?
Names? Our other Patreon members. What do we got here?
Key.
Arsral. Thank you.
Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Jacob.
Thank you, Jacob.
Okay, not Brandon. Brennan.
Brennan. Thank you, Brennan.
Ohio Ranger.
Ooh, Ohio Ranger.
Dingo Flamingo.
Oh, I love that name. Dingo Flamingo.
Josh Clark.
Josh!
And Will.
Welcome, Josh and Will. Josh is a local.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you, Josh. I don't know.
You know Josh, though, if you've seen him.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah, thank you, guys. I mean, love all the support. It helps us immensely.
I thought for a second I had myself muted for that entire thing. I was like, oh, yeah, this sucks.
Good thing I repeated them.
Yeah. Now, so let's play a Flavor of the Forest ad. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. What do we got today?
I don't know. Which one you want?
I don't care. I'm hungry. We are getting lunch after this, right?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go.
Jay, I maybe hooked up a cable to Bob the Giant Mushroom and maybe plugged it into my brain. And I was getting a very strong message.
What did he say?
He said, Flavors of the Forest is coming out with a new flavor.
A new flavor?
Lion's Mane Mushroom. The ultimate thing to meld mushroom and the human brain together.
Wow.
It's coming. Bob the Giant Mushroom was telling me, everybody has to try this new flavor. Flavors of the Forest, Bigfoot Breath, Lion's Mane.
So this is something I can, another food addition enhancer I can add to my food?
Lion's Mane, the superfood, the reproductive organ of the Lion's Mane mushroom, mm-hmm. coming to Flavors of the Forest. Where can they be on the lookout for these new additions?
You can find this new additional flavor at flavorsforest.com/corn.
Be on the lookout for Bob and his kin. How fun was that?
I love Flavors of the Forest.
It's good stuff. Good mm-hmm. stuff. And the mushroom one is really good.
It is, actually. It's just, very, very good.
I just had it on steaks the other day.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's recount this story.
You're right. Okay. A quick recap, shall we?
Yeah, quick. Yeah. No, it's, you know, Mr. William Miller is the guy that hunted down the GoRo on a business trip.
Right.
I had to move my mic. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hunted down the GoRo on a business trip. So he gets all these locals. He just shows up into town, gets all these locals, and be like, it's killing your cows, attacking your kids. So this is the Ozarks. So it used to snow there.
Okay.
Doesn't really snow in Arkansas anymore. Like, it's pretty rare. But when this time, you know, with whatever you want to say, climate change or whatever, you know, my grandpa would talk about going down and ice fishing in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And they have car wrecks now every time it sprinkles snow.
Yeah, I know, right?
So it's changed a lot. So this guy goes in. And they hunt, they find these web tracks in the snow. So they trace it down, and it was living in the river, and they found its home in the river.
Right.
A cave. Full and full and full of bones and carcasses and rot.
Okay.
So they get there, and they're like, okay, let's set up outside, and we got to wait for the GoRo to show up home. He describes it pretty good. About 20 feet long, green in color. Bunch of horns along its back, long flat tail, big head. The head is a weird description, halfway between, what do you say, a man and a rhino.
Okay, yeah.
Where did I say that?
Yeah, you did say, I remember that.
Well, where did he? Where's that? I have a man only with two enormous tusks on the lower lip. So teeth outside of the jaw.
Right.
Yeah, comes in. They shoot it to death a whole bunch. As it's freaking out and dying, it breaks a whole bunch of trees and cuts a guy's leg off with his tail. And then he feels bad, and then he shoots it a whole bunch again.
Yeah, yeah.
Then he says it's a placoderm, which has nothing to do with anything. Like, a placoderm is like...
I'm looking it up right now.
Old style fish.
Okay.
Like, long time ago. And he says that's a combination between the hyena family and the rhino family.
Okay.
So he says just a whole bunch of things. Then he says it has to be probably because it has how its teeth are, is it has to be related to Sumatra rhino, which is extinct, which they probably believe it was at the time it's still around.
Right.
So yeah, then he sent the bones to the Smithsonian.
Dude, I looked up a placoderm. Okay, I should
show me.
These creepy fish looking.
Yeah, like old donkeys fish. Are one.
Yeah.
Armored, like big head fish.
Yeah, armored, yeah.
They had different body plans. Like they were three instead of five.
Okay.
So, like, fish have four, or the two sets of main fins and then the tail.
Yeah, he's
so,
just odd looking.
They're odd. Mm-hmm. But he said that's that, which is a hybrid between a hyena and a rhino.
Okay.
Yes. What do you think of this story?
What do you mean?
What do you think of this encounter?
Like, do I believe it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no.
So the goer. Like, no. So this is the Plaid Fairy Book. I've never heard of the Plaid Fairy Book, but it's Lyndon S. Sharp's book, okay. The Plaid Fairy Book, and this is where this story comes from.
I think it's a good story.
Yeah. It's I mean, fun. But 100%. Don't you get bunyip vibes?
Yeah.
This whole story, when we talk about people hunting the bunyip, we talked about all this. It sounds very much like a bunyip.
Mm-hmm.
Even this big aquatic monster, the big flat feet, you know, coming out and. Whatever. It really sounds like a bunyip. So you have no guess what this animal could be?
My guess, first, like, crocodile. That was my first guess.
Okay.
At some point, I was thinking, like, maybe platypus, like, giant platypus.
Okay.
Or some type of giant beaver. But I don't know.
No, I mean, we talked, I think that was the Yukon Beaver Eater was a Patreon episode.
Yes, it was.
But giant beavers are... a real thing.
Right.
Castroides got huge.
So I'm trying to think. That's about all I can
muster. Let's consider some possibilities. This is even real. Because we know with the...
Lumber lore
cryptids.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were made up to explain natural phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
Like Slide Rock Bolter is a perfect example. We did that in the live show explaining that how the sheetrock out there would... like crumble and whole cities would disappear overnight, towns.
And then they also had the floating lights up in the mountain that look like eyes.
Yes, the bioluminescent stuff and stuff. Like,
yeah.
So they reverse engineered a monster to fit the natural destruction and phenomena they were witnessing. And that happened a lot with the folklore cryptids, like the squonk. We talk about that a lot, you know, with the big puddles, bugs breeding, this group of bugs. All you see is a big puddle
foamy
of
foamy puddle.
Yeah. Like it looks like water that's all foamy.
Right, yeah.
And they reverse engineered a cryptid to fit that.
Exactly.
And a lot of folklore beasts, though, also talk about dangers. You know, we talk about that a lot with, you know, security and stuff like that. With like, if you tell kids the river's dangerous, they're still going to go down to the river.
Right.
If you make up a big, scary monster, they won't go down to the river.
Right.
So this could be something like that, the old folklore. The GoBro is associated with the rivers a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of these caves that can be very, very dangerous for kids.
Right.
So it could be a folklore thing for that to kind of keep kids out of there.
So you don't get your leg cut off.
So that's my first one. It's a classic example of Ozark folklore.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And that it really fits all the boxes.
Right, this may absolutely. Just be... Especially with that one description of this thing. How it was so, like, crazy, like, amalgamated together. I don't know.
So that's the first one.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I'm on board with that.
Next one I got for you is this is a crazy cave critter.
Okay.
That the Ozark Mountains that you've talked about so much on this show, the caves underneath them.
Weird area, yeah.
The caves underneath them are vast, undiscovered biological havens. They are so full of life in them.
A lot of weird
and
stuff.
And very, very little research goes into them. They're hard to research. They're hard to get into. They're not like all the other caves where there's big openings everywhere. Like a lot of the Appalachian cave systems have openings into them, so you can go and explore and do stuff.
More accessible.
Yes. These caves don't have as many that are known or are safe.
Gotcha.
A lot of the big ones are very volatile, so they may not be open very long. So this could be a one-off or a couple times, like we talked about the Ozark giant killer centipede, that they may live down in these cave systems, and every once in a while, we see an example of one getting out.
Right.
And how they react shows that, you know, where the Ozark giant killer centipede didn't hurt anybody that didn't bother it.
Right, yeah.
A very defensive animal.
Exactly.
So that could be something we're experiencing here. What do you think about that? That this is maybe a creature that lives in these underground rivers and stuff like that. And every once in a while, you know, we talked about the 30s, the 90s, and then so the 1830s,
mm-hmm.
the 1890s, and then the 1930s.
What follows is a very similar mold to this giant centipede. So, I mean, if that one's true, this one has to be a possibility of being true then.
Okay.
That's where I fall on that.
All right. And then we can always go interdimensional.
Of course, yeah. Any cryptid or any creature could be an interdimensional time hopper, portal, jumper, any of that stuff.
Okay, my last one is going to make you feel stupid, so I'm trying to help you. Normally, you guess these.
I know, usually early.
Yeah.
I'm for some reason.
You give up?
Maybe it's I'm just so tired. What is it?
Oh, we still got a lot of recording to do today.
Don't remind me.
You give up?
Yeah.
You were so close with crocodile.
Alligator?
The American alligator.
Oh, I thought the alligator's teeth are on the inside of their mouth.
Their top teeth are hanging down.
Oh, that's the only reason I didn't say alligator.
The rows of spines down the back.
Right.
That's the green color.
Yep.
The
web feet.
The large web duck-like feet with the claws on the end of each toe.
Right.
The long blade tail.
See, the blade tail that cut a guy's...
Their tails are extremely strong, but it's more that... I had to move the mic. More that it ends in a big blade, because that's what they swim with.
Oh, okay.
So it goes flat into a big, long blade at the end. And they do look like a big blade. It looks like a circular saw blade at the end of their tail. But their legs are incredible, or their tails are incredibly strong. Like, they can break your leg with their tail.
Okay.
So let's say this is all true. Like, the story with them killing one. This part of Arkansas, it's rare to have alligators.
Oh, really?
Why? Not impossible, just the cold weather they used to get. Not alligators can handle the cold. They don't prefer it.
Gotcha.
Almost always, though, in these colder climates, when they used to come up the Ohio River and stuff, it was always the big gators.
The ones that are big enough to handle it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be what's happening here is at one-off time, every once in a while, a super-sized gator, you know, a 12, 14-footer.
I was going to say, how big they say? Yeah, 12 feet. Is that one?
Yeah. So what if that got in here? And these river systems that are normally colder water... It's rare for gators, not impossible. And it kills a whole bunch of stuff because they're not used to it.
Right. It's free pickings, basically.
But the big flat tracks.
Right.
You think alligator. And it's just living in a cave for whatever reason because it's there.
It's probably safe.
Yeah. Basking in that kind of stuff.
Or there's a lot of food in abundance, yeah.
So it doesn't make sense because the businessman probably would see one from a little rock on the Mississippi River. They've probably seen gators. But... I don't know, but it could be an alligator bellowing, the goro sound. You ever heard them?
Goro. Oh, yeah, I've heard them bellow. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it could be that sound that they're hearing, and that this population of people, alligators are rare for them.
Right, they're not
especially
used to
super-sized alligators.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking over 100-something years ago at this point. Let's see. Actually, the first encounter was almost 200 years ago.
Right, yeah. It was...
1830s. The first story that
the very, very first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
1890s is the really popular
right,
one.
Right, yeah.
So 130 years ago.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, I don't know. I really think if it's real or has the nugget of truth that's hidden in this story, could be either a warning of alligators to the area, could be a freak encounter with a supersized aggressive gator.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just happened once every 30 or 40 years.
Right, that they just bump into it.
One get that big.
And work its way up there. Yeah.
Because the Ozark Mountain streams are completely cut off of, like, the rest of the watershed.
Oh, okay.
So it takes a lot of work. Like, it's a lot of work
you gotta
to
work
get there.
Yeah, exactly.
Gators can do it.
Unless you're in a cave system that where it might connect.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah, if it, anything could do it, it'd be a gator. Because yeah. he get in a cave system, get lost for a couple of years, and not have to worry about eating.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know. If I had to pick an animal and be like, what is it?
Yeah.
It would be a gator.
Okay. What if it's the new species? I'm going to discover cave gators.
Cave gator that eventually evolved into sewer gators.
It's the same difference. That's the urban model.
The urban model.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's kind of the thought is maybe these people experienced a supersized aggressive gator.
Go roll.
They probably knew what it was, too. I'm not saying that these people didn't know what an alligator was.
Right.
But to help maybe with either like the folklore side of it then takes hold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't a gator, it was a goro.
Right, it's different.
Or even the folklore, people retelling the story
and they
changed it.
And maybe they couldn't understand their accent. And they were saying gator the whole time.
Gator, goro.
And they're like,
gator, goro.
He's saying goro? What are you saying?
It could have even been a colloquial name for gators.
Yeah, it could have been, yeah.
I don't know, there was a weird name for him in Louisiana one time I heard. I can't remember
Snooki.
Now. Well, Snooki was an individual gator's name.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Was Arkansas. And that was the biggest gator I've ever seen in my friggin' life.
Yeah, in person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how big it was. I was in a 12-foot boat, and it was bigger than the boat.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It sounded like a Mack truck when it hit the water.
The water, yeah.
That is awesome. I don't know. I kind of wonder if this is, like, one of those gators.
So my crocodile thing was close.
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought crocodile because I thought the teeth were on the outside. It's the only reason I said it. And the tusks, that's why I thought that.
Keep in mind, and I'm not saying anything about the people that experienced this. They probably knew what a gator was. That folklore in the newspaper, you know, there's a lot of people there before it gets to us in modern day. It passes a lot of hands, and the
mm-hmm.
game of telephone
mm-hmm.
changes the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I could really be a gator, a huge gator that they were warning their kids about.
Right. That lives in the caves. Normally they don't.
Yeah. Normally, they're not up in their part of Arkansas.
Right, yeah.
They can show up anywhere in Arkansas, don't get me wrong, but they're rarer than the rarer.
Yeah.
Go-ro
yeah,
rarer.
Wait, yeah.
I don't know. I kind of think it could be a gator, that. And they made the folklore.
Rarer.
The rarer go-ro.
Now you do sound Cajun. You're working, you're slowly converting.
I don't, yeah, anyways, what do you think?
I know, I'm with you. That's what was my initial hunch. The one thing at the end that threw me off, though, is when you were mentioning the snow. Then I'm like, oh, well, then it can't be, you know, a gator.
They slow down, sure.
But
it was just a sprinkling of snow. And
but then you mentioned, you know, if it's of significant size, okay, that makes a little more sense.
And yeah, and this is, and once again, everybody at home, this is a relax fit episode. This is just relaxing before the season finale gets rocking and rolling.
Right.
But
just fun flavor here.
Goro. It's a cool one.
It is.
The fearsome lumberland creatures are always a lot of fun. Some of them have a little bit more merit than others. Like, when I first picked the goro, I kind of just went through the book and just picked one.
Mm-hmm.
No particular reason. And then I started researching the goro. And this is one, to me, has a little more credibility than most in the book.
Ooh, okay.
Because it could be a giant alligator.
Right, yeah.
All these things that the goro did, like the amount of death, the breaking into a barn was probably exaggerations.
Yeah.
Taking a couple cows? Sure. You know what I mean? When Fendt the cows come down to the river and stuff
that. Oh, I've seen that. Grab water buffalo.
Yeah. That's crocodile, but
same difference.
Very different animals.
Turtles, tortoise.
No. But yeah, I think the goro, if it is real, if there's any chance of it being real or whatever,
alligator.
Most likely is a big alligator that people experienced.
I think I'm with you on it.
All right. So the next time you'll hear us will be for the season finale.
So I hope you are ready. Buckle up, because this is going to probably be a while.
Pray for us.
Please. Thoughts
Everybody
and prayers.
Loves them. We get really tired at the end of them. I'm like, the Mothman. There's no need to feel down.
You're safe now.
I have been the great and powerful mystery.
And I have been J. Clone something.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys.
guys. Thank you for listening to Cribs in the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.